Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
We're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday thus far in H-Town. Always text in 713-572-4610. Catch us on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and Twitch. Available all different sorts of places for you so we can hang out with you, get you through the middle of your day here, Sports Radio 610. Nick Caserio talked to the assembled media. Is that what they call them?
I think that's what they use.
Excellent. After the 53-man cut down, just to kind of get a little insight into how that came together and, you know, what all is still involved now with this team as they move forward and look towards the Colts in a week and a half. So with that being the case, no further ado, this is Nick Caserio earlier today.
There's going to be multiple moving parts between now, between the start of the season, between week one, throughout the season. So, you know, we just keep the players that we feel make the most sense, understanding that they're here until they're not. So we'll take it one day at a time, and we'll go from there.
What do you feel like you were able to accomplish? What do you feel like you guys, the team, were able to accomplish throughout training camp?
I think we put a good foundation in place, get the team ready to play. I mean, now the focus is on Indianapolis. So, I mean, what happened, you know, over the last 6 weeks, I mean, honestly, is in the past. So now the focus is on Indy. You know, start preparing for a really good football team who presents a lot of challenges on, you know, in all three phases, honestly. So, I mean, hopefully we put together a decent team that gives us an opportunity to be competitive on Sunday each week. And, you know, the first opportunity is going to be against Indy here, you know, in a couple weeks or less than a few weeks. So.
Now that you got the roster set, is there any position that you're looking to add depth to as far as some of those players who will cut from other teams?
Yeah, we'll look at that. I mean, there was almost 1,000 names that were on the wire here last night. So, I mean, we'll work through it. So teams will put together their practice squad. So there might be some players that get claimed. I mean, typically there's about 30 to 35 players that get claimed. So call it one a team, not necessarily one per team, but just from a number standpoint. So. And then players that are claimed, there's going to be an offset, right? Somebody's going to get released. There's a good chance that player is going to go to that respective practice squad. So teams have put together a practice squad, ourselves included. And you're going to carry some depth on the roster. You're going to carry some of your depth off the roster. So wherever our depth lies, whatever it is, every player that's in the building is preparing to play on Sunday. So that's how we approach it. Like, we don't care, like, where you come from, who gets ready to play. Whoever we think can help us win that Sunday, like, they're going to be active for the game. We're going to have to make, you know, 5 to 7 players inactive each week. So we'll go through the process like we do every week. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, there'll be some movement. There'll be some players that I'm sure that we'll look at. And, you know, whether it's this week or, you know, next week or workouts or whatever it might be. But I think we have a decent idea about what's available, what's out there. I think you got to be realistic about, like, are you bringing just a name tag in, or are you bringing a player in specifically for a particular reason that's going to fill a particular role? So, you know, we'll handle it. You know, our scouting staff's done a great job. I would say Lip, Chris Blanco, DJ Debick, you know, pro staff, Steve Cargyle. They've done a great job of going through the league, coming through their teams, knowing what's available, what's not, what's on rosters, what's going to probably be on practice squads, what are our opportunities. So if there's something out there that makes sense, we'll look into it. If there's not, then we won't.
How did the emergency quarterback rule being vetoed alter how you're thinking or how you constructed the roster?
Yeah, I think that whole story is basically a non-story. I mean, we knew this in March. I mean, you basically, it's no different than last year. You either have two players on the roster, one player on the practice squad, or you carry three quarterbacks on a roster, and then you have the ability to make a guy an emergency quarterback. So, honestly, it's a non-story. It doesn't really affect. It didn't affect us. I mean, maybe some other teams, but I mean, this isn't like any news to us. So,
as far as that goes, Case obviously isn't going to play. What do you envision his role being this year? And could you see him being a coach in the future?
It's a good question, man. You probably got to ask him about the coach part, but. You know, Case has been a good player for this organization for a long time. I mean, his leadership, his toughness, his intelligence. So it's unfortunate that he's not going to be able to play football this year. So, I mean, hopefully he's around the team and around the building. He can be an asset to the team, to that room. So a lot of respect and appreciation for Case, what he's done, not only over the last year or so, or year and change, but over the course of his career. I mean, you're talking about a guy that one drafted that's basically made it, I don't know, 12, 13 years, whatever it's been. So it's a credit to him. So it's unfortunate, you know, difficult situation. I'm sure there's a lot of emotion involved relative. I don't want to speak for him, but as far as what he does moving forward, ultimately that's going to be his choice, but I think whatever he decides to do, he's going to be really good at it.
British Brooks, what did you see from him in North Carolina? What did he show you out on the field this year in the preseason?
Yeah, consistent, dependable, tough, good size, good playing strength, smart, can handle multiple roles offensively and in a kicking game. So, I mean, British just shows up, doesn't say much, and does his job, which, I mean, the more people like that we have around here, the better for everybody. So, you know, he's earned his opportunity. He's earned his way onto the team. We'll see if he's able to stay on the team. But, I mean, he's here for a reason. It's credit to him. It's credit to DB, you know, and the work that everybody has put in with him.
As you watch what happened on kickoffs throughout preseason and camp and everything, how did that, if at all, impact the roster?
Yeah. Not too much. I mean, I think everybody probably played it pretty close to the vest. I mean, I think, honestly, there was a big outbreak of long returns, it seems like, this last week up to that point. I mean, there was a few returns that popped. So the rules are the rules. I mean, it doesn't sound like anything's going to change drastically. I mean, I think the private equity discussion was a bigger discussion than a kickoff return discussion yesterday. So, but there'll probably be a little bit more strategy that goes into how do you want to handle the return element, how do you set up the return, who do you put back there. I would say what you're going to see different body types respective to different teams. So, like, as an example, wouldn't be surprised if Indianapolis, you know, uses the defensive tackle from Northwestern on kickoff coverage, right? You know, he's an athletic guy, he's big, you know, big-ass guy, 285, 90 pounds, that runs good, is athletic. Could potentially create some problems. So, all right, how do you compensate for that? How do you prepare for that? Like, we may not have an equivalent player. You might have to do something else. So I'm just using that as one example. Whether or not Indianapolis does that, I mean, they can make their own decisions, but I wouldn't be surprised if that actually happens. So we'll look at it. We spent a lot of time in the spring and in training camp. You know, we've talked in a building about some different things. So, you know, we'll go out there. We understand what the rules and parameters are. So we'll try to put together a good plan each week and try to take advantage of our opportunities.
There was a lot of banter that went on about John McGee and Xavier Hutchinson. You know, a lot of it was social media, a lot of radio fluff. What did you see from those two in training camp?
Yeah, Sarge, you could tell me what that says. I don't really pay attention to any of that. So I think what you saw with both players was an improvement, was they were available, they were on the field, and they continued to get better, and they took advantage of their opportunities. So I think Hutch was probably one of our most consistent, most dependable players from the beginning of training camp until the end. Say Metchie took advantage of his opportunities there at different points. So, I mean, it's all you're looking for. Training camp is about putting the foundation in place, kind of the earlier question, what are we trying to accomplish? Put the foundation in place, look for individual improvement, look for collective improvement, and I'd say those two players are good examples of that. Now, I mean, the hard work starts. So, I mean, there's a lot that went into it to get to this point, but, I mean, now the hard work starts, and, you know, we'll see what are our options game day, what's the role, how can we use them. It's not just about offense and defense, it's about the kicking game as well. So that goes into a lot of discussions that we have, not only daily and weekly, but D'Amico has with Frank and Bobby and Matt on the defensive side of the ball. So, I mean, those two players are great kids. They work really hard. They care a lot about football, and they've went out there and they've improved. So we'll see where that goes from here.
Did a player like Noah Brown, did availability just finally catch up to him?
Yeah, I mean, Noah's a good football player. I mean, Noah's going to be on a team. There's no question about it. He helped us win, honestly, probably two games last year by himself. So, I mean, good football player. We understood going into this as we constructed the team, Cody, that, you know, weren't going to be able to keep everybody, right? So, got to make some hard decisions. I'd say that was a difficult decision. So, we kept the players that we felt right now that could help us the most. I mean, I'd say Noah, I mean, certainly part of that discussion. In the end, we just made the decision to move on. But I have a lot of respect for Noah. He's probably one of the toughest players that we had on his football team. Took advantage of opportunities last year. And, I mean, again, he won us two football games literally by himself, the Cincinnati game, the Tampa Bay game. I mean, I don't know, he had 1,000 yards receiving in two games, whatever it was. But good football player. He's going to be on a team fairly soon and probably going to help a team win. So, I mean, those are the players that, you know, you wish them well. Just can't keep everybody, but certainly wish him well, and, you know, have a lot of respect for Noah.
In regards to the CBS crowd, he's got a lot going on him this offseason, bears that it takes some attention. How do you think he's handled that so far?
Yeah, I think in the end, you just got to keep the focus on football. You know, I think he's been able to do that. So, I mean, now, like, the offseason's over, basically. So, with the regular season's here, now it's what are you doing on a day-to-day basis to get ready for the next opponent, which in this case, Indianapolis, which, again, going back to an earlier discussion, I mean, this would be one of the best fronts we face all year. So, really good front. I mean, two of the best linebackers, arguably, in the league. I'd say speed's probably underrated. Nobody talks about speed. Everybody talks about Zaire. rightfully so, because he had 150 tackles last year. So we got a big challenge in front of us with Indianapolis. So I think the focus now is on football. Whatever happened in the off season. I mean, look, players deal with a lot of stuff during the off season, and you know, I'd say CJ's handled himself very well. He's very mature, he's very professional, but in the end, the focus is on football, because in the end, a lot of that stuff that comes along with being a good player, the opportunities that you get, are a result of what you do on a football field. So let's get, in the end, the focus always goes back to football, and I think that's where his focus is and where the rest of our team's focus is.
James didn't have a ton of production in the preseason. What did you see from him that allowed him to make the roster, and how much special teams in that
role? Yeah, look at everything. I mean, it's practice, it's games. I mean, some guys get more opportunities in games than others. Some guys get, you know, opportunities in practice. I would say the joint practices, you know, the teams use that sometimes as almost another, I would say, scrimmage or game, if you will. So Damian's been available. He's been out there. He's been productive with his opportunities in practice. I mean, limited opportunities in the game, but I mean, we're glad he's on the team, so we'll see what his role is moving forward. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what I think or what D'Amico thinks. It's what the player does with the opportunities, and then the players are going to determine how big of a role they do or do not have on a week-to-week basis.
You said before the season started, you said before training camp started, excuse me, that it was going to be hard to make this team. When you look at players like Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock, when you're out here observing, what did you see?
Yeah, two young football players that we think can help us win. So, I mean, I think they've been very consistent going back to the spring. I mean, I'd say I know a lot of people might be surprised about Kamari Lassiter. I mean, the least surprised people are the people in our building. I mean, starting with myself and D'Amico. So, this guy's a good football player. I mean, go back and watch any film you want to watch at Georgia. I mean, played against the best people, very consistent. Same things that we've seen. So, we're glad he's here. I'd say CB's done a good job. CB's got playmaking ability. He can take the ball away. I mean, even a play he made against, was it Pittsburgh or whatever it was? I mean, middle of the field, it wasn't an interception, but not too many players can get to that ball. So they're two good young players. They're two really good kids that care a lot about football. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully they can help us win some games. And if they can't, then, you know, we'll find somebody else.
You know, when it comes to making some cuts versus availability, even though they might have some guaranteed money, or just, you know, if they're not available, just letting them go. Like, what's kind of that balance of, like, looking at the roster and contract construction versus the actual reduction on
the
field?
I'd say the contract is probably, like, the least of our concerns. Like, the contract's a contract. So we're not making decisions based on somebody's contract. We're making a decision based on the information that we have, what we see on the field, and what we think is best for the team. So, I mean, the contracts, I would say the amount of time we spent on that, like, that's more of a March discussion. So what goes on at training camp, I would say it's de minimis.
With Cam Akers, remarkable comeback. He's torn his Achilles twice before. Comes in here, doesn't look like that's ever happened before. What did you see from him in terms of resiliency from that and plays he made?
Yeah, so there's a lot about Cam. I mean, you know, the player we brought in, I don't know, it was right before training camp or during training camp, and he went out there and kind of took advantage of the opportunity. So obviously it says that he's put in a lot of work to get to this point. I'd say it just gives you, like, an appreciation, I'd say, for the level of, like, athlete that you're dealing with. I mean, a normal human being, I mean, to come back from something like that, I mean, that list is pretty short. So, say, Cam's done a good job. He's been out there. You know, he's been available. He's took advantage of his opportunities. You know, we'll see what that looks like here moving forward.
Was there any difference between year one and year two of D'Amico going through these roster cuts?
The great thing about him, he's the same guy every day. Like, pick a day of the week, pick a year. I mean, again, I've said this multiple times. Like, I can't say enough about him, our relationship, the ability to communicate with each other on a day-to-day basis. You know, I'm sure you get sick of me because, you know, we communicate a lot. But it's all through the vein of we just want to make sure we're making the right decision for the Houston Texans, not what's best for the player, what's best for me, what's best for D'Amico, in the end, what's best for the collective whole. And that's how we approach it. I mean, we literally talk every day. We talk this morning. Hey, what are your thoughts? Anybody on the wire? Piques your interest? All right, great. Well, here's this group of players that we're looking at. Hey, take a look at it. What do you think? It's very communicative. It's very fluid. There's a lot of information that goes back and forth. And that's how it should be. So my job is to support him as much as possible. And we're just trying to put the best, you know, best team together for the entire group and for the whole. But, I mean, can't say. I mean, I love the guy. I mean, I love working with him, love everything he's about. And again, it's not like year one to year two, this like big change. honestly, he's probably been the same guy since he was here when he was drafted by the Texans however many years ago. So that's what you love about him. I think that's what players appreciate about, I would say specifically him or any coach. They're just looking for some level of consistency on a day-to-day basis, and he has that in spades.
There you go. Nick Caserio earlier today, after the 53-man roster cutdown. Quickly, anything major hit your ear?
Well, obviously the Noah Brown thing. That you could tell that just really pained him, but had to make that call. And as we talked about at the top of the show, they clearly are going to continue to make some moves. I mean, that's obvious, but it's very clear. And as we speak, they're bringing guys into the practice squad. Some they're are familiar names that were here, and some are not. So they're definitely going to try to keep that thing going. By the way, also practicing, Jeff Okuda's practicing today. Will Anderson is suited up to practice, but mostly just doing drills, but it looks like they're ramping him up. And Tim Settle is practicing. So the team is getting their stuff together for the opener.
Okay. Well, we'll give you some more on the actual names of who's being signed to the practice squad or who's expected to be signed to the practice squad. Some more updates on that coming up next. You're listening to In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get you what's popping.